Hey guys, I'm Ray Hunter. I am a sophomore at LBHS right now, and I've lived in Laguna Beach my whole life. I was born on June 3rd, 99, and lived my whole life here in Laguna. As I was growing up, I have an amazing family who we all look out for each other so much, and we're just so close, and we're always wanting to go to the movies with each other, have like family dinners, and it's just this really close family, and we aren't Christian, my family isn't Christian, my parents are geologists, so they're scientists, so I mean, I guess there's kind of like a lot of contradictory things between scientists and the Bible, but if you look at it in certain ways, they run together so beautifully, as Raya told me. Everything was just going super smooth. I mean, I was just like a really good kid. I was always obedient to my parents. And then eighth grade kind of came around, and that's when I kind of like started finding out about drugs and stuff like that. And I just kind of lost control for a while. From the beginning of eighth grade to throughout the beginning of my freshman year, I really just got sucked into drinking and smoking and taking pills and stuff like that. And I was just in a horrible state, and I didn't realize it. And I was just super disrespectful to my parents and just always talking back to them. And I just remember just this one summer, I was just locked in my room like the whole time, and I was just so miserable. And I was just mad at my parents. They were mad at me. We were getting nowhere. And this was just for just a long period of time. I just remember it just really wasn't a healthy state for me at all. I didn't know what I was doing. I was hanging out with a lot of kids down in Dana Point, and that's literally just all I wanted to do was just like drugs and so that was just really a messed up time for me in my life. And I didn't know who God was. Like I said, we weren't a Christian family. And then I came to Refuge one day. My buddy kind of brought me, and I was like, I had nothing else to do. I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll just go to the high school youth group. And there was a speaker there, and he just had this gift from God that he could like tell things about people without asking them. And he like kind of pulled me out to the side. He's like, hey dude, like what's up with your elbow? Like I know something's wrong. And this was my first day, and I was like, I thought this guy was kind of weird at first. So I kind of just like pulled my sleeve back, and I just had this big, it was all bandaged up. I was skating with my friends Billy and Liam, and I just kind of ate it. So he's like, dude, I just want to let you know that I'm here for you. Like, we're all here for you. We're just this family. If you ever want to fall back on us, we're here for you. That's when I met Josh Sauerwein, and he came up to me, and I just saw, like, this, like, ex-convict guy come up to me, and he's like, hey, dude, like, dude, I love you, man. I just got, like, a ton of, like, mixed messages from, like, all these people, and it was just really just an incredible night, and I just, like, it changed me. And since that day, it was, like, February, I think. And since that day, I was like, all right, Ray, like, you got to, like, get off the drugs. Like, this isn't where you need to be. Like, and I was just so fascinated on God. So since that day, I haven't drank or smoked or done anything drug-related at all. And also, one thing I told myself I'd never do is smoke a cigarette, and I'm kind of proud of myself for not doing that, just because, like, I mean, even though you can argue that, like, taking pills is worse than cigarettes, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to smoke a cigarette. I was just so, like, what the heck, like, this guy just came, and he told me all these things that I've, like, never heard before, and I just completely got changed, and I was like, wow, this is so incredible, this person named God, and Jesus, like, he loves me. Like, how weird is that? So this person who created this world I wasn't Christian, like I said. So this was like, just hit me like super hard. And I was just like broken down by it. And I came back and I told my parents everything. And I was just like, wow, like, look at this. And so I just like wanted more of God. I wanted to see more of Jesus, like outside of Refuge. So I was like, okay, so I'm going to like, I joined the worship team at Refuge. And I was like, I'm not getting enough of God. I started going to church, not getting enough of God. So then I was like, okay, I'm going to become an impact leader. So now I lead the middle school, and I just like completely changed by this. And just in like an hour and a half, just one night, that's like all it took was for me to just like fall down before God. And I was just like, wow. You know, I'm like still hard to realize it to this day. And so I've just really been on fire since then. And I just remember this man, he came into our middle school, our high school club rock, and he said something that like really hit me is, nothing physical can satisfy your spiritual need. And that was just like so powerful for me. Like, no matter how many drugs you do, right, like how much you consume, that's never going to satisfy you spiritually. You're not going to change. You're not going to be like satisfied out of that. Like, only like Jesus can do this for you. Like, I mean, you can get into a mess, and the only way you can get out is with God. So, so, I mean, I still have my like challenges, and although my parents and my family aren't Christian, so that's a little bit hard. When you come back from church or refuge or something, they're watching some show on evolution, but you know, it's that doesn't change how I think of my parents at all. They mean the world to me, and I know I don't show that a lot to them, and it's hard for me to realize it, but just like how much Jesus emphasizes love and how powerful that is. It's just so crazy to like look at that, just like how Jesus can like love everybody no matter what they do. I mean, I look at my enemies and I'm like, oh, I hate that person, I hate this person, and I'm like, you know, you got to learn to love, and that's really what it like comes down to. And so yeah, middle or high school, or yeah, eighth grade, beginning of high school, just doing drugs and stuff. And you know, getting high off of drugs lasts for like 3 hours, but getting high off of God is a lifetime. It's like, it's ridiculous. I mean, he's going to be with you every step of the way, no matter where you go, no matter like how far you turn your back to him, he'll never turn his back on you. And it's just so crazy to kind of get all this in like under one image. But so yeah, I mean, I just really fell in love with this church, this community. I literally spend more time here than I do at my house, and it's just, and my parents get a little bummed out on that sometimes, but I try to balance it out, you know. And so I guess like God like definitely can change lives, and I'm in a much better place now than I was like a year ago. And
hello, so my name is Jonah McStay. I am a senior at Laguna Beach High School, and on behalf of everyone here at Little Church by the Sea, I would like to thank you and welcome you for coming to this Youth Sunday. The topic I'm going to be speaking on this morning is relationship, and not just any relationship, but how through a loving, deeply committed, personal relationship with God that you can overcome any obstacles in life. In my own testimony, my own story, I've had to overcome a pretty big family tragedy. In the seventh grade, I came home from a pretty average day at school to be told by my mother that basically my father, stepmother, and two little brothers went missing. And it was really hard news to take. We were just kind of blindsided by it, and it came out of nowhere. So years would go by, and we're all left wondering. And then my junior year of high school, we got some news. Basically, just last year, four bodies were found in a desert, and they were identified to be these family members of mine. And that was really difficult. That was a difficult time, and it was really hard to be okay and you know, put on a face that was okay when everything in my life was kind of falling apart. And to make matters worse, while I've always had a relationship with God, and I know there's something greater and better that I can go to, I wasn't exactly seeking out God. He was kind of a passing figure in my life. I would wave to him occasionally, say hi every once in a while, but I didn't really actively seek him like I should have. But something really cool about God that I've learned through all of this is even if you are not actively seeking God, he actively seeks us. And it doesn't matter how much we push him away or shove him aside or try to, you know, outright just reject him. No matter what, he is going to be coming after us, and he wants to love us and just do incredible things in our lives. So Now I'm going to transition to the more through these 5-6 years, the more I grew in my relationship with God, the more truly incredible things happened in my life. One of the coolest kind of things God did, the perspective he supplied me with, was to give a little bit of background. My parents divorced when I was 3 years old, and I would go to my father's house on the weekend, and I did this pretty much all the way up until a couple months before my father went missing. And this was due to, there was some family stuff going on, and basically, when my father went missing, I felt like at that time I didn't have the best relationship with him, and I wasn't visiting him on the weekends the months leading up to that, and basically I felt like I had sort of failed, or that it just ended on a bad note, and it was really hard, and I think that made it a lot more difficult to take. But something cool that God did, his divine perspective, is he showed me, he told me that, Jonah, if everything had been fine with your father leading up to those months before he went missing, you probably would have been with them when they disappeared, had I continued to visit him on the weekends. And so it's stuff like that, that heavenly divine perspective. And that doesn't make the situation right. It doesn't make it, you know, that much better. But it certainly helps to have God going, here's my hand in this situation. This is what I'm doing in your life. And this is what I've delivered you from. Another incredible thing that happened actually occurred on the adventure road trip. It was the high school road trip. We went through Arizona and Colorado. And while the trip was absolutely phenomenal, everyone was having a great time, I myself was miserable. I keep stressing this. That was not because of the trip itself. Everyone should still go next year. But for me, myself, it was just, I think what was happening in my life is the part of me that liked to turn to the world for answers and for happiness was clashing with the part of me that wanted God so desperately. And so on this trip, I was very unhappy, and it was just a hard time. But on that trip, I think for the first time in my life, I finally went, okay, obviously the part of me that's seeking stuff in the world, it's not working for me. Why don't I give it all over to God? Why don't I seek him out and seek that relationship? And so I did that. So despite being, you know, not too happy on this trip, I prayed every night. I said, God, do something so incredible on this trip that I can never again doubt your existence. I asked him that. And the whole trip went by, and on the last night that happened. Basically, as I was sitting in a hallway with Dominique, I was sitting in a hallway in a hotel in Colorado, and I was just crying. I was just telling her what was going on. I felt lost in all this stuff. To kind of give a little background to this, I feel like when we turn to the world for answers, it distorts and it twists what God really has in store for us. It changes our perspective to things that aren't true. And in my life, through these years of not knowing about my father, while I knew deep down that God was supplying me with the comfort to get through it, the world was telling me, no, you're numb. You're numb to everything. You can't feel. There's something wrong. There's no way you can be this okay. And so I started to believe that. So on this trip, when the part of me that turned to the world and the part of me that turned to God kind of clashed, and I was crying on the floor with Dominique, these three words came into my mind. And I feel like it was God going, here's my answer to this. He put these three words into my mind that were numbness or comfort. I feel like God was taking into question, Jonah, is it even possible that you can be numb and be this okay, even if it were that true? No, it's my comfort. It's the comfort I've been supplying you all these years to get through this situation. And when I spoke those words aloud to Dominique, I'm not kidding, the room around me shifted. It like physically blurred. And then the moments afterwards, it was like someone was adjusting like a camera, like the focus on a camera. And suddenly, it was crystal clear. Everything was crystal clear. And in that moment, I felt more peace and happiness and contentment than I've ever had in my entire life. And that was God going, this relationship we have, this is what it feels like. So what I'm trying to say is whether you're someone that has a solid relationship with God, to just press in more, or a so-so, press in more. And if you're someone that doesn't have a relationship with God at all, I encourage you, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Two scriptures that I think are pretty applicable to this talk are Matthew 17:20. It says, "He replied, 'Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you.'" And Romans 8:28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So my relationship with God today, what it looks like is to say this, I've never had more work my senior year or a higher stress level. The world constantly is saying, how are you this okay? I don't know where I want to go to college. Everything just seems up in the air. And yet I've never been more at peace and never been happier in my entire life. And I attribute this because of my relationship with God. When fear or anxiety or any of those things come on, I speak to God like he's right in front of me, like he's my best friend, like he's my father, like he's the only reason worth living. And I say to him, thank you, God. I don't like this feeling. I don't like these feelings of anxiety. Take it away from me, and in its place, fill it with your love. And every time I do that, 100% of the time, it leaves. And it's amazing, and it's beautiful. And because of my relationship with God and what I've gone through, as unfortunate as it is, I can now look at the world and I can look at Satan, and I go, I rejoice in the attacks you give me, in the burdens, in the pain, in all this terrible stuff you've done to my life. Because the more you attack me, the more I turn to God, the more I look to him to be my savior and help me through it. Thank you.
Hi, so my name's Claire Nill. I'm 14. I go to Thurston Middle School. There, obviously. I have family of my mom, Kimberly, my sister, Allie, and my brother, Bruce. They're actually here today. So Jonah just explained how his relationship with God is and how crucial it is to have that. So I'm just going to go about explaining how I came about finding my relationship with God. So my story kind of starts at the beginning of last summer when my father passed away. So that was naturally a hard time. And I called out to Jesus every single day, just like asking him to be with me, like, Jesus, please be with me. And for some reason, it felt like whenever I prayed, it was like talking to a wall. So in my mind, what I was saying was, Jesus, when I need you most, why are you not here? So I had a brief few weeks where I kind of just looked to the world and looked to not Jesus. I would look to myself, Claire, you can do this by yourself, but that's not true. So after going about that for a few weeks, I decided I can do this by myself. I can not do this without God. Jesus, please be with me. So that's what I did. I said, I'm going to pledge my life to you, Jesus. You are everything. So I once again began praying, still felt like talking to a wall. All of a sudden, summer camp came about. So it was Camp Hondo, and that was just a week where our youth group went and just worshiped the Lord for a week together. And that was just really great to see because I saw God work in so many different ways throughout that week. An example is over my junior high years, all the grades have been very, very separate and not really welcoming to the younger kids, I would say. So as eighth graders, we kind of decided, like, okay, let's take them under our wing, you know? Like, because when I was in sixth grade, I could have used that. So that's what we did. And just, like, looking around the camp, you would see so many people, just older and younger kids together, like, going about following Jesus. And that was just crazy to see. And so I saw God working so much in the community around me and with the people around me. But then again, I did not hear him personally in my head. So that was just something that was kind of a struggle in my weeks from that camp to the beginning of the school year. So the school year finally started, and I started going to Impact. I would go to church every now and then. I would talk to leaders, and my relationship with God just started like to jumpstart, kind of. So I would listen to all these scriptures and read the Bible and pray more, and all of a sudden I could hear God. So that was crazy. So a defining moment with my walk with the Lord was at a prayer team meeting. And we did this exercise where everyone in the room had a paper, and we would pass it around, but no one knew who you were writing to. So it was kind of like you were putting, like you were relying on God to give you words to encourage this person who you were talking to, but you didn't know the person who you were saying it to. So once again, I just want to say that I didn't really know that many people in the room. They didn't really know my story. I didn't know theirs. So that's just how it was in the room. So I got my paper back at the end, and it said Arizona on it. And I was kind of like, okay, that's kind of strange, because that is where my father did happen to pass away. So just seeing that, I could see God was really working with me. He was talking to me, and he was saying, Claire, I was with you. Even when you thought that I wasn't with you, I was. I was walking with you. And that just looking back on that, I could see he was definitely with me. And then another thing that happened on that meeting was when Dominique came up to me afterwards and she's like, Claire, like what you wrote on my paper really just, that's what I needed to hear at that time. So just seeing that God was using me to help others with what they were going through, and he was speaking to me through other people. So I could just see God going both ways, and that was just really great. So after like establishing this relationship with God, I reached out to others, kind of. I would bring them closer to Impact. We would help each other. We would pray together. And I just had all these really great relationships. So another example is my friend Emma. She, over the summer, she didn't know what religion she was. She had thought about it a few times, but she was just like, whatever. So I made her come to the first Impact. And within that first Impact, she knew she wanted to be a Christian. She heard God. And I remember her telling me that she cried that night, and she said those tears felt like all the burdens that she had been carrying before she pledged her life to Christ were just like flowing out of her eyes, and just like all those burdens were gone. So I was seeing that I was leading her to Christ, and now we have such a great relationship, and it's purely based around God. And just like seeing that my best friend is like that, it's just our relationship is so much stronger now. So after I became closer to church and Impact, a bunch of leaders have really brought me under and helped me find my way to Christ. So they have been so welcoming and just so like rejoicing with me in my walk with the Lord. So yeah, and since I've seen them reach out and talk to me, like bring me under, it inspired me to like help the younger kids, kind of, and just show them the way of the Lord and walk with our relationship together. So that's something I've really been investing my time in recently. So just a scripture that I wanted to say about like love and relationships is this. It's the 1 Peter 4:8, and it says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. So it says to love earnestly, and I was like, okay, what does earnestly mean? So I looked up the definition of earnestly. Earnest, it says, serious in intention, purpose, or effort. So love is a gift you possess to give to others. And just a lot of times you think of love as, oh, I love them. Like, they're my family, they're my friends, I love them. But to love, you have to love with intention, purpose, and effort. So I was kind of just thinking about that. So that's just something I want to leave you with to ponder, to love with intention, purpose, and effort. And then it says, love covers a multitude of sins. So no matter how much someone does you wrong or wrongs you, you still have find it in your heart to love them, because that's what Jesus would do, and that's what he does. So whatever is blocking you from loving those people in your life, I hope that you find it in your heart to overcome those things and just learn to love them. So my question to you is, what is love? What does love mean to you? So yeah, that's just what I'm gonna leave my talk with.
Jonah and Claire just talked about how important it is to have that relationship with God, to have a comfort level to where you can go to him with all your problems and just to have the feeling to know where you don't have to hide anything from him. Now, I am going to be talking about, once you have that relationship with God, why would you want to keep it all to yourself? why wouldn't you want to go out and share it with other people? And so in your bulletin, there's a little handout that I put together for you guys. If you take that out, I'll go over that real quick. The verse that I put on there, like my main verse of my talk, is Romans 1:16. And so that says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek." So that verse basically is talking about being, it's about not being ashamed of the gospel, basically. And it says about being unashamed. Now, that's just a title. You can call it whatever you want, but that's what I take away from it. But so on here, on the little handout, I have a couple of ideas and suggestions that that you could go out and try to do these things and try to live unashamed in Christ. One of the suggestions I have on here is to share the gospel with those around you. I don't really mean this literally, because, you know, we're in church and that there's, when you're sitting down, there's only a few people around you. But I'm talking like when you're outside of church, when you're not surrounded by people who know the gospel, when you're surrounded by people who aren't really, may not be believers, may not be as strong believers. If you just share the gospel with them, just take like 5-10 minutes, just talk to them. That's all that you need to possibly change somebody's life. And another suggestion on here is take part in random acts of kindness. Now, that there's many random acts of kindness that you could do. You could volunteer at charity events, just like talk to people on the street, like, you know, help a friend out. But that's basically something that you can do to live unashamed, because that's what God calls us to do. God calls us to take part in random acts of kindness. And another suggestion, or these next two kind of tie together, invite others to church or church-related activities and be bold about what Christ has done in your life. So if you were to invite someone, first off, if you were to invite someone to this church, I know that they would want to come again. But if they don't, then you just have to say, look, just come to church once. That's all I ask. Just come to church once. And if you don't want to come again, that's your decision, and I respect that. But if you be bold about what Christ has done in your life, then that might encourage them to, because that might be all that they need to really build up the courage to step into church and to, you know, take that next step. And then the last one, pray openly and publicly. Now, those two terms kind of have different meanings, but they tie together. Praying publicly would be like if there's a time, if you're just like walking around or sitting and you feel like you have this urge that you need to pray, but you can't for some reason, because you might offend someone or you might make someone feel uncomfortable. Well, just do it, because if you feel like you need to do it, then there's no reason why you shouldn't. And to pray openly, that kind of means like if you were to pray openly with someone, that's kind of like opening the door to let them into what you're trying to say and what you're trying to spread to them. And the last thing I have on here is a little daily prayer. It's short, and it was actually kind of hard to make that, because when I pray about this stuff, I'm in my room for like 5-10 minutes. I'm just like, you know, talking to God, and that's like my time. But to kind of condense it all down, those was hard, a little bit hard. But I think it pretty much covers everything that you would need to pray about. It says, "Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for giving me another day to live for you. I pray that you give me the courage, or strength, courage, and willingness to go about my day living unashamed of you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen." And so I think that one, that prayer kind of takes everything that I was thinking of, every little detail, all kind of into one general idea. And so that is this handout. I encourage you to take this home and just, you know, stick it on your fridge and just say that prayer. Now, what really got me into wanting to pursue being an unashamed believer and spreading the word to my friends is I came across this logo right here is with the 1-1 and 6 spelled out. That's a group of music artists that are Christian. And so I listened to their music, and that kind of really brought me to a state where I was just like filled with joy, and I wanted to spread it. I wanted to have other people be feeling what I was feeling. And so that is kind of what got me into pursuing this life of, you know, sharing so much is because of them. Now, the last thing I want to say here is I want to give you guys a little bit of a challenge. What steps can you take to be an unashamed believer? What can you do to share the gospel? What can you do to inform other people that don't know or that might not even want to know? What can you do to go about living unashamed of Christ? Thank you.